And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, July 11th, 2013. It's the birthday of the essayist and children's writer E.B. White, born in Mount Vernon, New York in 1899. After college, he had a few gigs as a journalist, traveled around the country with a friend in the Model T, worked on a cruise ship in Alaska. Then when he moved back to New York, he picked up The New Yorker the year it came out, liked it, sent some pieces in. He was a regular contributor and a couple of years later became a staff member. He even married Catherine Angel, an editor at the magazine. They moved to a farmhouse in rural Maine. White kept writing for The New Yorker, but he also wrote about his experience with rural life. He especially liked to write about the animals he kept on his farm. E.B. White had 18 nephews and nieces, and they were always asking him to tell stories. He wasn't very good at thinking up stories on the spot, so he started writing a children's book so that he would always have a story on hand. A book he worked on for 15 years turned out to be the tale of a mouse child named Stuart Little. The book begins, "When Mrs. Frederick C. Little's second son arrived, everybody noticed that he was not much bigger than a mouse." E.B. White, who said, "I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day." It's the birthday of the literary critic Harold Bloom, born in New York City in 1930. His parents were Jewish immigrants, and his first language was Yiddish, but he fell in love with English poetry and read it before he had ever heard English spoken aloud. He started reading Walt Whitman and Hart Crane when he was 8 years old. He went on to become one of the most influential literary critics in the country, one of the last critics who argues that great literature is a product of genius and that we shouldn't read to understand history or politics or culture, but to understand the human condition. It's the birthday of the artist best known for a painting of his mother, James Abbott McNeill Whistler, born in Lowell, Massachusetts in 1834. The painting was titled Arrangement in Gray and Black No. 1, but it's more commonly known as Whistler's Mother. It's a portrait of Anna Matilda McNeill Whistler in a black dress, seated in profile against a gray wall. When Whistler's scheduled model didn't show up for a sitting, he decided to paint his mother instead. And here's a poem by Richard Shelton titled, "If I Were a Dog." I would trot down this road sniffing on one side and then the other, peeing a little here and there whenever I felt the urge, having a good time, what the hell, saving some because it's a long road. But since I'm not a dog, I walk straight down the road, trying to get home before dark. If I were a dog and I had a master who beat me, I would run away and go hungry and sniff around until I found a master who loved me. I could tell by his smell, and I would lick his face so he knew. Or maybe it would be a woman. I would protect her. We could go everywhere together, even down this dark road, and I wouldn't run from side to side, sniffing. I would always be protecting her, and I would stop to pee only once in a while. Sometimes in the afternoon we could go to the park, and she would throw a stick, and I would bring it back to her. Each time I put the stick at her feet, I would say, 'This is my heart,' and she would say, 'I will make it fly, but you must bring it back to me.' I would always bring it back to her and to no other if I were a dog." If I Were a Dog, a poem by Richard Shelton from his collection, The Last Person to Hear Your Voice, published by the University of Pittsburgh Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. This is Billy Collins, hoping you will join us next time here on The Writer's Almanac.